great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. And it came about when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And then he began to speak. And here's the point is that God wasn't in the fire, the earthquake, the wind, but he was in the still small voice, the little gentle thing. And so in talking about how prophetic things come, most of the time prophetic words come in a faint whispers, impressions. And that's part of the important parts, learning how to move in the prophetic, is you don't wait for some earth-shattering thing, some earthquake. You just go with those, pay attention, and just go with those faint whispers, those slight impressions. Sometimes, for me, and this is, would be normal, they'll come just as an idea, or like when we were teaching them using a cartoon character or a cereal, just so that you get your imagination working, and then trust the Lord. You know, again, like Bishop Mike says, we're asking for the things of the Spirit. That's what one of the Gospels says, and if we ask for bread or if we ask for fish, God's not going to give us a serpent or a snake. We can trust him. And so those that'll come as ideas or words. One of the things I've learned about giving prophetic stuff, if you just get some little something, but you don't get it all, start with what you have, and the rest will follow. You just go for it. And if it comes out just a few words, just trust that was just a few words. We talked about for him, for Richard, and for you, this God's going to use little baby steps, but you got to go for it. You got to risk. All righty? Another thing is that you can see things. Sometimes the people's shirts or colors they're wearing will prompt me to see something about them, and or their shoes or anything. You just be open to the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I've discovered, too, like familiar faces, you may see somebody and their face, and they may not look like that person at all, or there may be some features that are similar, and they look familiar, and God will begin to remind you of some traits, characteristics, or attributes of that person, and God's wanting to speak that word to that the person you're looking at. That makes sense? Everybody? Okay. Words of knowledge, which is also a prophetic thing we've been talking about before. There are a lot of people who have lists about how words of knowledge come, but I'm going to give you the things I understand that have been in my experience the best. One is that you feel them. Somebody talked last night about having chest pain, and we pray for somebody with heart issues. Sometimes you can feel it, and it's not like this is like a chronic thing you've had, but it's kind of come on you like pain in your arm or pain. And for some people, that's a real dominant way of getting prophetic words. That's not been the dominant thing for me. For me, the dominant thing has been see it. I'll see things over people. Or there may be a word that starts, but I'll get these little flashes, these little visions of somebody, and begin to speak. As I said to you, I think last night, sometimes I'll see, depending on what's going on, but I'll see a faint angelic presence over a person, standing behind them, just pointing at them for me to get my attention. That may be because I'm not very anointing, and so God's having to like throw boulders at me to get my attention to see. That's my favorite way to get words because it ministers to me. It's so fun for that to happen for me. But again, sometimes you'll see these mental pictures over someone. You'll just see something. You may see somebody riding a bicycle, just this image, and just ask the Lord what that's about, and God will be speaking to them, you know, about different things. You'll just think it. Again, as we said earlier, just those thoughts. And this is when it's words of knowledge. Now, words of knowledge are different than the prophetic because words of knowledge are kind of like, you're not just speaking words over people about most of what you've heard have been prophetic words, but like last night, we gave prophetic words that were really words of knowledge. I believe God's going to do this, and God's doing this with somebody, this healing. Most of the time, that's how that comes, okay? Any questions about that, about how you words come? Did I go too fast? I'm just trying to cover some territory so we can get things done. I've discovered that it's just not real hard. Don't make it hard. Don't try so hard. Just relax. If you don't get something, don't get something. But I do think one of God's wanting to demonstrate here that the fulfillment of the scripture, you all may prophesy. You know, you don't all have to, but we're trying to help you understand that you all can. And so Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's a participatory sport. And when we come to church, Wimber used to say, we all get to play. And we all do get to play. Now, we have to play nice, and we'll cover some of that in a few minutes, but we all get to play. We all get to participate. And the gifts of the Spirit, if you go back and you read in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 and 14, it says, when you come together, that's one of the really important parts of the context there. These are the gifts that manifest themselves when you come together. So when the church comes together around the Eucharistic meal, it's in a preamble of the CEC. There has to be room to allow the Spirit of God to do these things. And I know one of the real popular things in the independent church world for churches that are kind of charismatic, but they're more contemporary churches, they won't allow any of this stuff to happen in their church services. That we've even had one church that they had grown into being more and more free, and they were letting some stuff happen, and they stopped it because they were afraid that something weird might happen. And what they're all about is church growth. Let me just say this to you. We were doing some stuff recently, and there were people there who were really in part of that kind of thing. It's all about church growth, church growth, church growth. So we're going to eliminate anything that would prevent church growth. But we were moving in the Spirit. Some things were happening. And the Lord said to me, this is all about church growth. Because what we don't need is a church that's 15 miles wide and an eighth of an inch deep. And if it's just numerical, that'll take care of itself. You see it in the book of Acts. But you want people who are New Testament Christians. And some of the mega church movements, and I'm not against mega churches, man. I would like every church in the CC to be a mega church because that means they're just reaching people for the kingdom, right? We have a tendency sometimes to get an attitude, if we're not a quote mega church, to be critical so we feel better about not being a mega church. And you have to understand, will mega church get it wrong? Some? Well, they got more people. So, of course, their challenge is a lot bigger. So, I bless them. I encourage them. I think, man, Lord, help them. Help them, Lord. And in that world, you know, when everybody kind of has a vote, and too, it's like, it's mega mob. It's just chaos. And so I pray for the pastors. It's a miracle they're not all suicidal. But for us, it's about church growth. It's about being Christ-like people. And the gifts of the Spirit, Jesus manifested and operated those all the time. And that's what he's going to continue to do. That's just who he is. There's a place, I love the one in Matthew 14. I'll just read this to you if you don't mind. And I may have talked about this before, so forgive me. I'll tell you something, because I do these kind of things a lot, but one of the real mistakes I've made in my life is I don't write down what I did in places. And so there's always a chance you'll get to hear it more than once because I should do that. I should have done that for years. I should have been writing down, okay, this is what I did there, so I don't do it over again. But sometimes maybe the Holy Spirit wants to emphasize something again. This is when the guys are out in the boat. So they're out in the boat. And then Jesus comes to them in the middle of the night, walking on water. They're all scared because they think it's a ghost. They don't even recognize that it's Christ. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, it's me. And here's what I love. It says in verse 28 of Matthew 14, and in response to realizing that it's him, Peter was prompted in his own heart to say, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And then there's all kinds of cool stuff in this story, but one of the things that means a lot to me is that Peter's understanding of what Jesus was after in his relationship with them. And Jesus was after raising up men among his apostles and in the church as a whole, men and women, who would live by faith, and see live by faith. He was the author and the perfecter of faith. And so he was always teaching them things and then putting them in situations and say, now you go out. You cast out demons. You heal the sick. You do all this stuff. And so it was a discipleship thing. He was telling and showing. It was always lab followed lecture. And so when Peter understood that, Jesus was after people, a group of men among his disciples, Jesus says, "The Father sent me, so send I you." And so he was looking for people who would allow him to live his life through them by the Spirit, the same way he allowed the Father to live his life through him by the Spirit. So Peter understood, if that was Jesus walking on the water, he could walk on the water too. That Jesus didn't do anything that he didn't invite his disciples to participate in, to experience themselves. Go back and read the Gospels, you'll see that. He had a 3.5-year period to train these men to know how to steward the Holy Spirit before he poured out the Holy Spirit. And that's always blessed me. As soon as Peter realized who it was, he said, "Well, then, Lord, bid me come." Well, he had never walked on water before. Not like he'd read some books about walking on water. I had a bunch of friends who'd walked on water. But he understood what this thing was about. If Jesus was walking on water, that meant I get to walk on water. Because that's what Jesus was after. And so Jesus said, "Come." And he stepped out and walked on water. And so, for us, as we move in the Spirit, you got to go for it. Now, all the things that Christ-likeness means that Christ is going to be like himself. He's going to do the stuff in you and through you, reading the pages of Scripture. That's what makes Christianity so exciting. On a daily basis, on a domestic level, that you can love your wife, you can love your husband with the ability of Christ. You don't have to be controlled by impatience or anger or greed or fear or envy or pride or lust. And you can participate in his ministry of destroying the works of the devil and the lives of other people. And the prophetic is part of that. Jesus moved in the prophetic all the time. Same Christ. Alrighty? So I love in Acts, I think I've shared this with you last time I was here, but a whole group of people at Pentecost, all these devout men who'd come from all over that part of the world for the Pentecost celebration, that says they were all devout men, but half of them mocked when the Holy Spirit fell and people spoke in tongues, and half of them were in awe. Because the ones who were in awe, they saw things happening as a promise, they'd get to do it too. The ones who became cynical and critical didn't live by promise. Everything Jesus does in Scripture is a promise to us, not just something to read about. It's an invitation to participate in. Okay? These are the things we talk about, call them dark sayings. There is a place in Numbers. I think it's 12. And this is a word the Lord gave. He said, "Hear now my words," verse 6. "If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I'll speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings." Let me just encourage you in this. The most significant way, the most powerful way, the most dominant way God speaks to me is in my time alone with him. Just like with you. I thank God for Scripture with my Bible open and just hearing God speak in my heart through truth. That's the biggest thing in the world. But he also speaks in dark sayings, dreams and visions. He called them dark sayings because it's not the obvious things, not mouth to mouth. It's sort of mystical. All righty? So I just encourage you in talking about the prophetic. Again, as we started off yesterday or last night, everything flows out of your intimacy with the Lord. So you spend enough time with him behind the veil and hear the voice of the Lord enough in your own heart that you begin to develop dove's eyes and you can see what the Spirit sees. That'll affects everything, and even in the prophetic. But what we call dark sayings are things like visions and dreams, like Peter had that trance. For me, like I told you last night again, when this thing started at a higher level, was ramped up 12 years ago, it all came in vision form. If you ask the question, well, when did that blue screen go away? It never did. To this day, there's things running in front of me all the time. The issue is I can't always stop and pay attention to them. And the Lord's really compassionate with me about that. He knows I can't. I got other things I have to do. What I have to be careful, my thing about is careful, I have to be careful to not just ignore it. Because it's a lot of work seeing the stuff and then recording it and writing it down and giving that kind of thing. And so I have to find a balance in my life, because I still, you know, that thing I prayed for, that I could teach and give prophetic words at the same time, I can do that, but it's still easier for me and my personality to do one thing at a time. So if God's teaching me something as a teacher, I want to communicate stuff, then it's hard for me. I have to really make a point and schedule to pay attention to the movie playing in front of me. But that still happens. It's still there. It's kind of like somebody turned on a spigot and never turned it off. You know? And the Lord has to remind me sometimes, I want you to start paying attention to Him. You know? Because my first love is as a teacher. But visions kind of come in flashes for some people, but sometimes you can have a vision, an open vision that lasts for days. That's happened to me often. It's like every time I open my eyes, it just still keeps playing. And that often is something really significant that either has national or international significance or consequences. I don't know if Bishop Mike will remember this, because there were other issues going on that made things weird and cloudy. But years ago, we had a House of Bishops in Maryland, on the coast of Maryland. And driving up there, flying up there, then driving up there, I kept having this open vision about a storm. And it was a nor'easter. Now, I've never been in a nor'easter, but when you get old, Weather Channel becomes one of your favorite channels. And so I've watched enough Weather Channel to know what it's like. You know, this storm, like a hurricane, goes up the coast. But it was too early in the year for a nor'easter. And I think one of the things that God, the Lord was trying to speak to us clearly that no matter what else is going on, don't get our eyes off the ball about these words that God's given us about an outpouring of His Spirit and going after that thing. And, God dealing with and cleaning things He needs to clean, but kind of going after it. And I gave this word, and I said, there's going to be like a storm, like a nor'easter, and it's going to start tomorrow afternoon when the House of Bishops, or this is like 2 days before, but on Friday at noon or whenever, when it ends, it's going to stop. And it had happened. We had a nor'easter. It was a record early nor'easter. Hit that place. Remember how strong the winds were? Started the day we started, and at noon when the House of Bishops ended, it ended. But it was a God just trying to say, there's something, you know, in the midst of dealing with the things you have to deal with, don't get your eye off the prize. I've also spoken a word about renewal, revival, outpouring of the Spirit. We got to make sure we stay positioned for that to happen. And but that was one of those examples of something that just played before me for days and days and days. Another one would be, remember I kept seeing this scene, some of the ones at CTK, remember this, I kept hearing children crying, young people crying, and I couldn't see what it was. And so God just told me there was going to be like this attack or somehow on young people. And it was in Holland. It was like, remember that thing on a campground when those people broke in and killed all those young people at a youth retreat? Yes, TZ. Yeah, I heard parents weeping and crying. I just heard children. I knew that's right. And I kept seeing that for days. Well, why does the Lord do that? I mean, why would he give a prophetic person, why would he give you a word like that just so you can show off and say you got a word? See, Jeremiah was a prophet to the nations, but he never traveled to another nation. And yet his prophecies affected nations and still do. You don't have to travel, things like that. And you can't disconnect, and Kathy could really amen this, you can't disconnect the prophetic from intercession. So it's one thing if you're giving personal prophetic words, that's good. But if you get some word that's bigger than that and it's to give, it's about invoking people to intercede. Because it's a intercession, if it's a second heaven plan, a demonic plan, intercession can come, and as we participate with God in His purposes on the earth, as He uses us as co-laborers and even governing the affairs of men through our intercession, what can happen is that something can be frustrated and thwarted. These guys would know that how many words have been given over the years about a certain situation, like a plane crash or a train crash or some tragedy, and it would almost happen but didn't happen, it would come out in the news. Or it wasn't near as bad as it would have been. Or that God's purposes really were accomplished in that situation because it happened. That's when you're going to have an open vision that maybe lasts for days. And now, I don't know how God's going to use all of you prophetically, but I know he's going to release the prophetic. You've already seen it happen with your young people. We're going to see it happen. We're going to pray for you some today, but tomorrow, we do like our last time, we'll do some stuff and then do some impartation. And because let me just say this to you again, whether we do it group or we lay hands on you, we're not looking for people to fall out. But I'm not looking for people who are going to hold on either. What I am looking for, what God's looking for, and in my life, every time something really huge has happened in my life, is I've just simply said, Lord, I don't care what it looks like or what it takes, do whatever you want to do. You with me? The issue is receiving the impartation. All right? And we don't like to take videos home to say, look, we counted, there were 12 people who fell out. God may deal with some of you that way. The biggest thing is don't just let God do what he's going to do. He often will do things like that because it's his way of kind of quieting a person so he can minister to them. That church that we were at, I don't remember the name of that place near the beach in Brazil. We had all these people out. I don't think they'd ever experienced it before, but we weren't looking for that. We never even told them about that. You know, actually everywhere we went, that happened. We would we would get people, this was so cool, and they'd get filled with the Spirit. And then Dan and Deborah are great at this, but we'd just get them up there to help us pray for people. And they would start praying for people, and the first time in their life they saw folks get healed right in front of their eyes. And they'd fall out again, like, don't fall out, help me pray. But this guy was overwhelming them with his glory and what he was doing, you know? Let's see. You know, some of this stuff is so... you don't need to be concerned about. Right. Any questions so far? Just about moving in visions, how to get a word from the Lord? You're wired for it, like we said. No? That's good. This group's easy, man. Okay, let's do this. Because in the morning, we'll probably do have more answers at the Sunday school thing. Question stuff, and then tomorrow, during Eucharist, I'm going to probably give a different kind of word than just about the prophetic, and we've covered a lot of territory. I don't know if I've done a very good job or not, but hopefully we've learned some things, and more importantly, I think we've kind of had a workshop. People are being released. So, again, what about the poop? Proverbs, I just quoted this. Let me read it to you. Okay. You have to understand too, the people who are with me, who follow, go around, we all go together, they've heard so much of this stuff, it's like they're sticking each other with ballpoint pens and needles right now to stay awake. Okay? I understand. Where are no oxen are, the manger's clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox. More ox you have, power, more increased harvest you have, but the more chance you have for poop in the stall. And like I said last night, we don't promote it. We don't encourage it. It happened in Jesus' ministry. It happened in Paul's ministry. It's just going to happen sometimes. No big deal. All right. There's a place where Jesus said about John the Baptist, because Jesus wasn't doing it the way John the Baptist thought he was going to. And so Jesus said, when they came to him, reported John the Baptist was saying, this is his cousin. He's the one who declared, this is the Lamb of God, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He comes, sends some disciples and said, are you really the Messiah? Because John the Baptist was concerned that Jesus had not overthrown Rome yet. He was waiting the kingdom to come and be manifest. So Jesus began, he told him, go back and tell them the dead are raised, the blind see, the crippled are walking, yada, 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 the kingdom of heaven's here. And then he made this statement, and blessed are the unoffended. Tell John, don't get offended because I'm not doing it the way he wants me to. Now, that's just a good pastoral word for y'all in general. Got nothing to do with the prophetic. There's a couple of people here who are just offended with God. You know how you can tell if you're offended? Because you complain. You complain about this thing a lot. Talk about it a lot. You bleed out of your mouth like I do. And you know what? That vision I had about Jesus, or about the Lord, in this, like a construction worker redirecting traffic, he had Lord, and they were all in capital letters. He can do what he wants to do. And he really doesn't owe any of us an explanation. But like that word that they had for you, that Kaylee had for you, was it Kaylee that had the word for you? That all these things, they're all gonna come together. They're all going to fit. Lord knows what he's doing. And so blessed are the unoffended. Just dare to believe. So blessed are the unoffended in terms of the prophetic. If we're going to grow in these things, there are all kinds of examples I gave you earlier about just prophets who did some weird things. That's prophets. But just the fact that sometimes, a word was given a long time ago, Bishop Mike, I don't remember that, in the body of Christ, it says sometimes God will offend the mind to reveal the heart. And that's true. Sometimes he'll, especially Westerners, we want everything to work out. We want everything to make sense. All the lines have to touch. You know, all the dots have to be connected. And yet, Scripture says God walks on the water. And so it's hard, you can't trace his steps. So I'll just encourage you, if you're going to grow in the supernatural in general, you have good government. You have a good bishop. You have, that's the whole point. Is that I love about the CC. It has real government. It's not just suggestions. It's real government. You have real clergy who are called not to control, but to protect, to lead, to protect, to empower, to release. And so don't get offended. Let's go after this thing together, right? Have a vision of what God's doing. God really is redigging the wells, period. And he's redigging the wells, for you. Just recovering, finishing what began when this first became a CC church. In the calling was to be a three streams church, not just liturgy and not just Bible, but charismatic. We're the charismatic Episcopal church. So let's go after that and be everything God's called you to be. It's an amazing blend. Because what will happen, you'll have other people who are hungry for God. They want to encounter his presence. They want to believe they can be in an environment where at least there's a possibility that the things that happen in Scripture can happen for them. They actually can encounter God in a supernatural way. Not just in Scripture. Because Scripture says we should expect that. But they want to do that in an environment that's not... They want it to happen where they feel safe. Now, I talk about not playing it safe. No, don't play it. You can be free to not play it safe in a safe environment. You with me? I've told you this story before, but again, we lived in a house one time and it had like a 50-foot drop-off, but there was no fence on the edge. And so we were always telling our kids to play it safe. Don't get too close. We finally put a big fence up there. And then we could tell them, you don't have to worry about playing it safe. Just be free. Because they were in a safe environment. See? Having some real boundaries gives you freedom to not have to play it safe. And so I was just thinking, because in this environment, you're free to not play it safe because you're safe. And people are going to come, will come. They want to encounter God. It's the best church growth thing I know, and it's the most biblical church growth thing I know. And as Bishop Mike said, I'm all for church growth principles. That's fine. You should be a good steward of anybody who comes, create an opportunity for people to be there, follow up, all that stuff. That's great. Good. But the Holy Spirit is in charge of the church growth department in the body of Christ. And it's the most biblical approach to church growth that I know of. Allowing the God to do and move, going forward as a congregation, And so I'm just challenging you to hear your bishop, whether you're in a separate congregation, part of this. The word I gave to you two times ago, God wants to do some amazing things in your midst if you're willing to change. Alrighty? There is a redirecting the traffic. That's going to be a redirecting conversation, redirecting intentionality, redirecting stuff. And let's just go and see what God's going to do. You don't have to worry. There's a fence on the edge of the yard. So we all get to go after it and play. Now, administrating the prophetic. It's so important for people who move in the prophetic, whether they have an office of the prophetic, which is even more true, or you simply move in those situational prophetic moments, that everybody is moving in a spirit of submission. See, one of the things that charismatics got themselves in trouble with in the 60s originally was they were hearing God for the first time. Not just prophetically, but just hearing God. They could hear the voice of the Lord, there were gifts of the Spirit, and they no longer felt they needed to listen to authority because they were hearing God. Well, that's your own personal cult. We're accountable. We need each other. We hold each other accountable. And so we always move in the prophetic knowing that we're submitted to authority, you know? And so like even earlier when Bishop Mike was speaking, you know, and Addison said, is it okay if I give a word? Didn't just jump up and interrupt him. You know, and so you learn that. We learn to participate that. And you've got to be free and grown up enough, grown-ups, if you give a prophetic word, and yet those who are in positions of government here come to you and say, hey, I don't think that was really the Lord. Let me just help you a little bit. It's never about just getting you. It's like, let me help you a little bit about that. That was kind of came across condemning one. And if you reject that, no, I know I heard from God, you're in trouble. Because even if you're right and they're wrong, God will honor your heart of submission. I mean, we all get to play, but you got to play nice. Right? You know, children play together. It's a lot of fun. When they don't play nice, it's not much fun at all. And even if you think you're hearing the Lord about something, those in authority over you aren't, it could be just a whole point of God putting a pause for timing purposes. Allow yourself to be instructed, lovingly corrected. Don't let your pride get in. This is not a contest. Amen? So we have to go for it. We can play. You know, we're in a safe environment, so you don't have to play safe. Play it safe, but you do have to play with submission. And what will happen is the whole congregation, see, at home, if we have somebody who comes and they don't know how to play nice and they do stuff, there's all kinds of people in our congregation that would just stop over and stop them. Say, this is not how we play. And if they say, well, this is the way God's speaking to me, I know what God's saying, I say, well, maybe you're supposed to go play somewhere else. And we're a very prophetic church. We go for it. You with me? But don't be afraid. If somebody gets a word kind of wrong one time, leadership, lovingly go deal with it. You know, we want to protect, but if you over-police, you'll kill. All right,
Bishop Chuck, let me share something real quick. I don't know if this is on, but yeah, it's on. Have you seen the movie The Hoosiers? Yours, it's an older movie. I'll tell you, if I was going to start a training session on the prophetic again, I'd use that movie as a beginning. Because he comes in, this coach, you know, you're familiar with it probably. And right away it was about authority. And the guys were rebelling against him. He would tell a guy, the star player, he said, you pass four times before somebody shoots. So this hot shot gets in the game and he dribbles down and he had nobody had been making points because they hadn't been shooting that much. So he decides just to go dribble down the court and shoot, and he made the basket, and everybody's pumped, you know. But this coach had the guts to pull him out of the game. Now that's what you're talking about.
Right.
And the same, then they get, remember in the barbershop session, he's new, all the guys call him over to the barbershop, and they're having a little talk about playing, are you going to play man-to-man or zone? And he didn't say anything. He just sat there and listened to them. And then finally he says, well, it's been good talking to you guys, and he walked out. That's what every pastor ought to do sometimes, or every leader in your group. If the people, all of us, and myself included, if you don't play by the rules, by authority, you might as well just forget it. That's what's clogging up the well.
Right. And part of what happens with rectors I deal with, they're so afraid that somebody won't play by the rules that they won't let anything happen at all because they're scared to death. And that's one of the reasons we do the prophetic conferences in Selma and would even do things like this as we go around, is because I want our rectors and our bishops to go, there's a right way to do this. So I want the congregation to hear, there's a right way to do this. As a matter of fact, in our church, we never really had to talk about the rules anymore. It's just the church operates by the rules. And if somebody comes in, doesn't, they just stick out like a sore thumb. You know? And then we just gently deal with it. We've had over the years a person or two who really, every church I've ever been into in Selma, they couldn't deal with them. And so they came to Christ the King, and we were committed to lovingly help them, encourage them, heal them, correct them, but also empower them. And did they mess up a time or two? Well, every once in a while now they do something a little bit weird. They're not crazy weird, but like a little bit weird. Yeah. But you know, they've been in our church maybe 10 years now. Because we'll correct them, and they'll go, I'm so sorry, you're right, please forgive me. I even had one person, kind of had a history of that, and I was gone out of town, and they did something kind of weird. It wasn't like crazy, wouldn't scare anybody off. It was just the people who knew, this person knew, as this person is kind of doing this thing, and a little bit, and had to do like with some worship banners, things, you know. And I didn't have to say anything. People said, you know, you may have to speak to so-and-so. Came to me, said, I just want to ask your forgiveness because I just kind of, I'm not sure what, I think I was just trying to, and I'm just really sorry. But that took a while for that person to learn that. They need to be able to have a church to go to. But is that more work? Yeah. But it's worth it, right? They're human beings. Jesus died on the cross for them. Now, if you just have somebody who's just rebellious and they just won't listen no matter what you do, then you may have to say, look, you can't say anything. And I'll show you that some just a minute. All righty? Let's see. Administrating the prophetic. 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about this. 1 Corinthians 14 is that judging the prophetic. And so we do. And I've been talking about that. And so the congregation, you know, everybody knows. If somebody walks in the room and hadn't taken a bath in about 3 weeks, yeah, everybody knows. You with me? Yeah, everybody knows. But it's the leadership's job to kind of deal with that. Now, the leadership, as we've grown, may say, well, will you help me, so-and-so? Because they listen to you. Without, I don't want to hurt them. But if they'll listen, we want to help them, then you do. Okay? And but there is a place where you understand, if you give a prophetic word for the church, see, one of the things we say, the prophetic words are like exhortation, edification, consolation. You better meet those criteria. Because if it's something beyond that, you better have your rector's permission. Because we'll see again. But if you're going to correct the prophetic, one, do it in love. Right? Do it in love. Give people room to fail. Don't be harsh and rebuking. This so scares off beginners, unless the word's really destructive. So if somebody's beginning, they give a word, and don't so rebuke them it scares them from ever going for it again, unless the word's real destructive. These are just some principles. Bishop probably knows these better than I do. What we do, unless it's something incredibly destructive that's kind of like, everybody's, I'll always deal with it afterwards, privately. Or I'll get somebody else. If it's a female, I may get some female to sit down and talk to them. Tell them, Bishop said, to come talk to you. and talk to them woman to woman and let them know, you know, we just don't do that. That's just inappropriate. Okay? If it's repeat offenders, then we restrict their privileges. And I've had to do that. You don't want you to move into prophetic anymore. I just want you to sit and listen and learn. We love you. I think there's an anointing on you like there is in every believer. There's just something you don't get. And the result is it's ruining your ministry. People aren't really receiving what you're getting. And therefore, it's like not accomplishing what's in your heart. And usually when I come from that direction, oh, yeah, well, gosh, I want my ministry to be effective. I go, well, it's not being effective. It's not helping. So just sit and listen and learn and ask questions. The thing is, if you have to stop somebody publicly, you want to make sure that you explain to the congregation the process you've gone through. Either this person just said a destructive word, or they've been warned, restricted, and they still go for it. You tell the congregation that. I want you to know we had to do this publicly because it was a destructive word, you know, and this has happened. Because you don't want them to think you're just being this mean old person who doesn't give a word, who doesn't let words come. You with me? Okay? Those are just some family rules. But this is my favorite. Don't be so open-minded that your brains fall out, okay? There are just some things you know. Now, here's some abusive things that people can do prophetically. This is what we'll end with this. Just one more page on my young kids. And that nap that I see emerging out of you, that need to do something else, is coming forth. Yes, ma'am. Well, it was sort of another word to say, don't let these things go. Don't just let weirdness go. In other words, here's the thing that's cool about leadership. They know. They're wired uniquely to hear, not just for themselves, but for the congregation. We want to encourage, promote, you know, and we've had situations before where somebody's new and they're learning and they'll go, you know, God's just telling me that your dad just has a real heart for you and there's a special thing. And then somebody will say something, well, that person's dad no longer is alive. Oh, and they'll get so embarrassed and humiliated. Well, I think there's some things that God was trying to say about some other things, and there's some finesse involved. But the prophetic is not a science, it's an art. But I would pull that person aside and say, I'm just proud of you for going for it. You did it in love. And I said, it's okay. It's okay. You know, because I don't want it to stop. I mean, everybody's different, right? I know this person doesn't have an agenda. They're not some real serious brokenness in them. You know, they're trying to get some needs met. They're just wanting to go for it. And so you got to give them room to do that. But at the same time, you just nurture. But I'm going to tell you, in my experience has been now for a long time, there's very little correcting I have to do. There's some. I got to be willing to do it. But most of the time, it's just celebrating, watching these people learn to grow and so that God can speak through them. Again, one-third of the Bible would have to be cut out if you cut out the prophetic. So biblically, the example is 30, you know, a third of how God speaks to us, we've removed. Well, that third might be very important, right? One thing I do want you to do, if you have a dream, see, for me, how do I know it's a prophetic dream? Because when I wake up, I remember it. Most of my dreams, I dream all the time. I don't remember. I say, well, but if I dream, and a lot of times too, if I roll over or if I wake up or whatever, I can just keep dreaming that dream. But if it's a dream that really sticks with you, that's sort of subjective, but it's usually a prophetic dream. And so you keep a piece of paper or a pad and a pen, or if it won't wake somebody up, a recorder, and simply record it or write it down and give it a name. And then you can later going back during the day and look at it and say, God, what are you trying to say? And most of the time there are things for you or a family member or whatever. But let me just say this to you. That sounds like a real simple instruction. And you can do a lot of teaching on prophetic dreams. That's the simplest thing I know to tell you. If you wake up and it kind of sticks with you, write it down. and then give it a title of some sort so that you can go back during the day and go, okay, because you'll forget. It won't take long as he comes and meets with us in night watches. So I'm just encourage you. I dare you. I double dog dare you. If you really believe God speaks this way, if you really believe all those things I read, how those important events and how God spoke through dreams, some of the most significant things involving human history were trusted with God speaking through dreams. Then put a pen and paper or a recorder next to your bed and just leave it there and ask the Lord to do something. Lord, speak to me in my dreams. And he will. But you have to be responsible. You know, if you're a good steward with the little, God said he'll do what? Give you more. But if you won't steward well the little, he'll take away what you have. He's not going to waste his time giving you dreams that are from him if you're going to just treat them irresponsibly. And I promise you that some of the most significant ways, again, it's biblical, that God will speak to you will be through your own dreams. All right? There are often seasons in my life, especially been true the last few years, where the most significant ways that God spoke to me were through dreams. All righty? I forgot that one, so I want to throw that in there. Let's see. I would just encourage you to not give prophetic words in total privacy, because there's no accountability. There's just no accountability. It's better to have somebody there with you. Guys do not need to be giving girls words in private, women prophetically. You with me? But it's an accountability thing. So if you have a prophetic word for somebody in this congregation, I would suggest you call leadership and say, I have a word for this person, and I just want to pass it through you because I want to be accountable. You with me? Not with you. I know you got it. But I'm just pointing at Mike. He's your pastor. He's your bishop. But you get a lot of trouble when people give. They have to create their own little world. I've had clergy do that, create their own little world by giving personal words to people, a lot of times women. But others, I'm going, that's not right, that's not biblical. How can you be judged and be held accountable, you know, if that's what you're doing? Doesn't mean you can't give a word to a person, but you have to be accountable somehow, you know? And I had several here this week, from words for Bishop Mike, said, this is the word I have, is it okay if I give it? Because they've learned that I'm speaking to a bishop, to a priest. And I just don't want to jump out there and give a word to him. Had a word for the congregation. They said, Bishop, is it okay if I give that word? Now, that's just a learned culture, that you don't go outside those realms. Nobody felt controlled or oppressed. They just understood, if we're going to play, we got to play nice. There are rules on the playground, you know? And usually, the rules only have to get broken a few times for everybody gets it. They understand the rules. But they don't feel oppressed. You just kind of learn it. You don't even have to have a class. You don't have to get all the kids off the playground and explain it to them. You know? If some kid throws a rock at another kid and you bring the kid over and goes, time out, everybody gets it. Don't throw rocks at kids. Or you can't swing on the swings. All right? We have to learn the right timing when we get prophetic words. God may give you a word, but you may not have peace about it, so don't give it. Because it may not be the right time. There's a right time. And that word may change and expand as you wait on the Lord. And if you miss a word, I'm going to give you something really deep, and it's really hard. Just own it. I missed it. I'm really sorry. Either I didn't understand or I don't miss it or whatever, but I'm really sorry. Just ask. The other thing is, if you pray for somebody with a prophetic word, do not lay hands on them without their permission. Can I have your permission to just put my hand on your back or whatever, right? And don't exceed your authority. If you don't have responsibility in a certain realm, then you don't have authority in that realm. Don't speak authoritative words. Again, you don't do it in private anyway, period. That's just scary. But if you don't have responsibility in a realm, you don't have authority in that realm. Doesn't mean you can't speak, but you're not called to give an authoritative word in that realm. Here's some perils if you're going to move in the prophetic, and if it becomes a prophetic ministry, not just you're giving situational words, but here's the thing, and you've heard this before, but it's really true. The higher the level, the bigger the devils. That's just a fact. Had somebody recently try to tell me, that's a negative word, that's not really true. And I watched their lives, I go, oh, that's true, and those things are eating your life. They're eating your lunch, trust me. The higher the level, the higher, the bigger the devils. It's just the way it is. There's warfare that goes involved. You're going to get rejected. Now, this is if you have a prophetic ministry. From time to time, you're going to get rejected. How many controversies have you... Again, you guys are from Kansas City. This is sort of the prophetic ground zero of the world not too many years ago. And how much of the controversy that you've seen among brothers and sisters who just go after each other, and articles and magazines were all about prophetic things. One of the things, too, if you want to move in a prophetic ministry, you're going to have to be able to live with a broken heart sometimes with what you see. I'm really grateful for the personality God's given me. Again, I'm like an Amos prophet. I was thinking about last night, you know, before I went to sleep, I like ask everybody, are you having fun? And, you know, this week has it been fun, taking on this trip, stuff like that. And I thought, you know what, I generally pretty much always have fun. Now, there are times when people try to ruin my fun, but my favorite sacrament is fun. And, but you're going to see some things that break your heart. And you're going to have to steward some of those things and not allow it to destroy you or make you depressed. Okay? If you watch the ministry of Jesus, there were times when he wept over it, Jerusalem. And yet, I don't think Jesus walked around in depression either. Here's one of the things. This is for prophetic ministry. This is just an educational thing for you. You will likely be violated during your ministry, but if it's God, you'll be vindicated in history. Blank page. We're done. Let me give some things about abuses, too. Giving direction to people that involves dates. Sam would say this. Dates, mates, babies, jobs, location. No-nos. Don't tell people they're supposed to move somewhere. That's a big deal. Even if you think they're supposed to move somewhere, these are people's lives. So I'm talking to you as somebody with a prophetic office. And I've seen this abuse. I've seen it abused in the CEC. Tell people who they're going to marry. Don't do it. You might know. Trust God to be big enough to somebody may come to you and say, you know, I really sense that I'm supposed to move to this place, but I just need to hear from God. Then you can say, you know, I think that's the Lord. But be wise enough to go, you know, I think that's the Lord. And if you have a word for somebody, you know, where it's somebody close enough and you're in, like around here and some word you want to give, they ask you a question, your bishop, you know, you're blessed to be able to speak into a person's life or whatever, don't go to them and say, God's just showing me there's some sin in your life. Walk in love. You know, I could be really wrong about this, but I just sense there's like something going on in your life. Could it be like, is there some kind of issue going on, like unfaithfulness? I could be totally wrong about this. Give them permission to say absolutely no, or to receive the word. You with me? Because I say don't give private words, but you'll also grow in a place where there's those who are trusted, you'll know, it just kind of happens, who actually can give words to people that they form relationships with, they do have some realm of responsibility in their lives. You know, we see that happen in our aisles. Well, people go and say, I just think God's saying. But these are people who I've made it really clear, I trust you to minister. You hear what I'm saying? But, you know, and we used to see it in early days. We didn't do it, but people would tell people, well, I believe your baby's going to be a boy. And then everybody goes out and buys blue stuff, and the baby comes out pink. I'm just saying, just be careful. Dates. Who you're supposed to date, mates, babies. God wants you to quit your job and go do this. You may speak a word to somebody, you know, or somebody in authority over their lives may say, you just seem miserable in your job. What do we pray for? Well, they may come to you and go, you know, there's this opening, and I'm not really sure. And if you think that's the Lord, say, well, let me just speak to you. I think that's probably God. But you got to make, and I'll say this all the time, when we had a guy move, Ralph Talier moved to Selma from St. Michael's, and he was just this amazing ex-Marine, great deacon, just obedient. When he did a class for me, but deacons, the class lasted 50 seconds, 30 seconds. Do what you're told, don't complain. That was it. That was the whole class for guys who are meeting. I thought, Ralph, that's awesome. And but Ralph they had moved, lived in Selma, and Ralph got offered a job like in Maryland, making more money. And he came to me and he said, what should I do? And I said, this is your life, Ralph, this is your family. I'm not going to tell you what to do. If I knew what to tell you, I wouldn't tell you. Now, that's just me. But I think there's wisdom, and it's kept us from having a lot of issues and trouble. So why don't you pray to God? Why don't you ask God? You and Linda get together, pray. You know, it makes more money. He loves Selma. He loved the church. And he'd only been there not too long, maybe 6 months to a year. And there was nowhere he was going to go. There was no CC church, whatever. And so he went and talked to Linda and prayed, and he came back and said, you know, Bishop, I think we're supposed to stay here. I said, I think that's right. But you got to hear God for yourself, Ralph. That really liberated him to know that I trusted him. You know, I was there. But I'm not going to tell the man to uproot and move away or not. But if somebody comes with you with uncertainty, they want you to hear, then there's freedom in that. Then go talk, you know. But again, if you're talking about people in the congregation's jobs and stuff, if you think you have a word, you better pass it through your rector. The poop is so big, snow plows can't get it up. And it's just not worth it to me. Alrighty? Now, every congregation, bishop's got to work that out themselves, but I'm just saying. Just saying. Don't promote people in the spirit without authority's blessing. I mean, I've had people say, God's called you to be a priest. No, he hasn't. Why don't you tell that person? Now I've got to live with that person thinking that's true. And it just ruins their lives. Or God's called you to be a leader of this, whatever. You might have a word for them. God, I think God's called some elevation in your life. Even if you know the details, don't tell them something that the authorities have not told them it's okay yet. Again, I said this earlier, don't rebuke a congregation or expose something that's demonic without blessing. I've had people who had to sit with this lady who was part of a cathedral. We had to spend 3 days. I think the stall spent some time with her too. Had a real heart, a real prophetic anointing, but was getting together with intercessors, sharing her prophetic intercessory concerns about the church and the rector, the bishop. I said, that's called gossip. It's not intercession. Don't do it. Oh, but I got this word from the Lord. Well, then pray. Don't say, just pray. With me? That just creates more rumors and, oh, it's awful. We should just take those people out and shoot them, right? All right. Not really, but sort of. Again, don't rebuke or expose persons. Don't embarrass them. I don't know how I missed those, but that's it. It's not like really a sermon, sort of a seminar. Isn't that helpful? Did you already know all those things? And it's just, well, Bishop, we're nice to you because you're here. We wanted to listen to it anyway. So here's the deal. Let's do this. Everybody close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. God will do something horrible to you if you don't close your eyes. That's a prophetic word. Now with your eyes closed, nobody looking. I have my glasses on so I can tell if you're cheating. Who in here has never released your prayer language? Raise your hand without looking. You've never released your prayer language. Raise your hand. There's one, two. There's three. Okay. Everybody can put your hands down. Look up. So we'll do this again tomorrow, but let's just take care of this. Okay? What I'm going to do, and we're all, what we're going to do, when I say to do this, we're all going to use our prayer language. You know, we're going to out loud just praise God in tongues. Those of you who already have a prayer language. But for those of you who don't, have not been released in your prayer language, now, I'm going to ask you to do something by faith. It says in the scriptures that they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It didn't say, and the Spirit lifted them up, and they hovered above the ground, and they automatically just started babbling like a turkey. They had to speak. They had to open their mouth and speak by faith. If you ask the Lord of the Spirit or the things of the Spirit, it says He's a good Father, and He'll give that to you. Alrighty? If you're a Christian, everything that Christ is, all the gifts, all the graces are in you. We have those graces released in us. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to just pray that for those who have not been baptized in the Spirit, for them to be baptized in the Spirit, for those who have not spoken in tongues, as we then are going to all start praying in tongues, so nobody's going to know that you're doing something weird, I want you to do something really profound. We've seen thousands and thousands of people this work. I learned this from an Episcopal priest. You ever heard of Terry Fulham? This is how Terry Fulham led people into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's a Harvard graduate, pretty smart guy, so he's not just prone to being a wackadoodle. But he would just pray this prayer. He'd say, I'm going to pray for God to baptize you in the Spirit and release your prayer language, and what I want you to do is intentionally by faith. Your mind will be unfruitful. It won't make sense. It may sound stupid. That's irrelevant. I want you to open your mouth. I want you to praise God, but not in English. Period. There'll be these sounds. Just say them. Nobody will know you're doing something weird because they're all going to be praying in tongues too. With me? I've had bishops get filled with the Spirit like this. I've had so many. And so, but you have to speak. Holy Spirit won't speak for you. He won't throw open your mouth and just make sounds go. You got to speak. Christian life is by faith. So if you haven't received your prayer language, I'm going to pray just a second. Again, I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes that the Holy Spirit would come and baptize those in the Spirit. You need to be baptized in the Spirit and release the prayer language. And when that happens, when I say that, I'm going to start praying in tongues. All the rest of you have a prayer language, just open your mouth and pray in tongues. And those of you who've never released your prayer language, open your mouth. Praise God, but not in English. When that happened to me, I got three little syllables. Four syllables. Sudamaka. And I thought it was the dumbest thing I'd ever done in my life. Real analytical in my thinking, and I thought, this is stupid. I'm just making this up. And so for 2 weeks, I'm like walking around going, Sudamaka, Sudamaka. So there was something in me, but I just couldn't own the fact this could be God. It just was too stupid. And I would go into the bathroom, because Livy kept telling me, it's the Lord, just go for it. I go, no, it's not God. And I'd go in the bathroom where she couldn't hear me, and I'd like go, Sudamaka, Sudamaka. And she'd go, I hear you. It's God. And so finally, after 2 weeks, I went off into a trailer, a camper, out in the woods. I said, God, we got to settle this thing. I'm driving myself crazy. And the Lord reminded me of those scriptures in Luke and Matthew. If you ask me of the Spirit, am I going to give you? I thought, wow. I just went for it, and this thing just flooded out. More syllables came. More sounds came. But I kept trying to listen to myself and figure out whether it was God or not. That's not much faith. But he was patient with me. Ready? You open your mouth, you praise God, but not in English. When I was in Africa last trip, I said, not in English, not in Swahili, not in French. All right, just close your eyes. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come now. Lord Jesus, we bless you, Lord. Lord, for those who are here now, who've never been baptized in the Spirit, Lord Jesus, just now immerse them into the Holy Spirit and release the prayer language of those who've never released their prayer language. Lord, I pray, Father, come, Holy Spirit. Just keep praying in tongues. Just keep praying in tongues. Those of you who raised your hand, you don't have to scream and holler, but you do have to move your lips. You can't talk unless you move your lips and make a sound. You got to start there. Just very quiet whispers of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Don't believe the lie that you're making it up. Just by faith. Just open your mouth and speak. Okay, you can listen up. Last year, or this, I guess it's 2:15, we actually had a king. He was the king of the Pygmies. But doesn't make, because they're real short, doesn't make him less of a king, right, Sam? He was a king. And in front of all of his people, these people that were there, and they really honored him as king, and he just got filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. So if you're one of the few that raised your hand that you hadn't, and I just encourage you tonight alone in your room, when you take a shower, when nobody's around, just go for it more, or go for it, okay? Amen. God doesn't love you less if you don't have a prayer language. You know, but I can say God can do more. And because it's just something else he gets to work with. It's a gift from God, and he has no bad gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. All right? It'll be one of those things that helps you be open to things that don't make sense. That'll help you move in all the other gifts too. Okay, that's it. Not bad. 5 after 2.